And what about this Kevin Samuels? Who's he?
Y'all are all out of whack with how men think.
But don't you feel like with those experiences, a person can add value to their lifetime?
Men value.
Tomasi.
Yeah. Okay. How about Andrew Tate?
Women don't get married until right around 29 years old right now. I mean, it's getting pushed further and further back.
What about this Fresh in the Fitna?
The one that always gets people pissed off at.
Body count.
Body count, right. To try to.
Haram ho.
Hold on. Yeah.
Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell so you don't miss exciting programs like this one.
Women naturally want or desire a man or a partner that's at a higher socioeconomical status. What is a superior man? What is the man that every man would want to be and that every woman would want to marry, for example? And that's what makes it so attractive to young men and even older men, particularly those men that have been divorced, went through a bad divorce, right?
Yeah.
When you tell them, look, get your life right, focus on yourself. You focus on your purpose. You be a man of strength and honor and respect. And then from there, you choose a woman that respects that there's a purpose in life and purpose of life. You know, sexual revolution, industrial revolution, all these things that kind of have an impact on what is a man, what is a woman, and what are their quote unquote roles and responsibilities. Islam is very, very clear on that. He said, what do you mean by partner? And he'll kind of break down that, no, it's not a partnership. There's a leader and the man is a leader. And he had a lot of integrity in saying those things. And that's what I find within the Muslim circles, is that men don't find integrity in saying what Allah has even said. But again, the right description, wrong prescription. Spinning your plates, wrong prescription. Body count, wrong prescription. No, it's have your commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being someone that is a protector, provider, and presider over a woman that you are willing to die for. What makes Islam so beautiful is that, you know, the man, the human being, relies on Allah, and Allah is a suppository of truth, to where when they read any of these books, they're able to decipher and discern what is right and what is wrong. But it requires knowledge of the deen and knowledge of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his life. The condition for having children is marriage. Those other two cannot happen unless you get married, period.
A man with his father, and then the father ends up getting smacked, and the son, all he could do is scream. That's all he can do. He was just scared. We got a lot to talk about today, tonight. Here we're going to be talking about red pill masculinity. We're going to be talking about, you've heard of some of these names for people who have been in or know about this community. Rollo Tomasi, Kevin Samuels. You probably heard of this book, The Way of the Superior Man. We're going to be talking about intersexual dynamics and much more with my next guest, Sheikh Abdullah.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So let's get right into it. Red pill. This is something that most of the young men know about. Mm-hmm. You've actually, these names, Rollo Tomasi, mm-hmm. Kevin Samuels, are these like the gurus of the red pill movement? You got Andrew Tate also as part of this. You got the Fresh and the Fitna.
Fresh and Fitna?
Yeah.
Oh, man, Eddie, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. A lot of these movements, I mean, just really seeing how these movements emerged. And you find throughout history that movements will emerge as an antagonist or to kind of speak against something that happened in the past. And Red Pill seems to be one of those. A Red Pill kind of takes after the movie The Matrix. Like once you take that red pill, you see the reality of things that go on. You understand the purpose of why things are the way they are. Therefore, you will not be duped or lied to for what everyone else is doing. And I think that name was taken by masculine excellence movements or men that wanted to kind of portray what masculine excellence is and to further tell men, you no longer have to be lied to. This is the truth about women. This is the truth about intersexual dynamics. This is what you should look and aspire to be as a man and take control of your life. So Red Pill kind of focuses on those things primarily.
You went deep into this topic, right? Mm-hmm. You really studied some of the works of these individuals.
Right. Right.
And the Rolo Tomasi. Tomasi, yeah. Okay. Is he like the person that kind of kicked this off, or?
Women don't get married until right around 29 years old right now. I mean, it's getting pushed further and further back. People want to say, oh, well, it's because we've empowered women and they're going to school and they've got careers. And no, bullshit. They want to hold out because they believe that they have more choice than they actually do. And then it bites them in the ass when they get past the 31-year-old mark, whether you want to call it at the wall or whatever you want to call it. I don't care. Right. Once they get past that, they become yellowed pearls. They're not undesirable, but they become less desirable. Less desirable than the 23-year-olds that the guys that they want to get with at that during that time of their lives, assuming they're high value guys, that they can only hold out for the high value guys. They're not interested in a 31-year-old. They're interested in a 21-year-old.
You'll find people that have written on this. You'll find a lot of what they call I forgot the acronym they use, but they're like dating coaches.
Dating coaches.
The dating coaches. Rolo Tomasi is not exactly one of them. That's not even his real name, but he has the books. One of them being The Rational Male.
Okay.
That's kind of the most famous one, where he talks a lot about more on an academic level, if you will, of intersexual dynamics, what it means to be a man, understanding what is called hypergamy, a lot of issues that he talks about. And a lot of them coincide with the fitrah of Islam. They coincide with the fitrah of the human being.
And a lot of these concepts?
A lot of his concepts, yeah. A lot of his concepts coincide with the fitrah of the human being, of what men are and what women are. But again, what makes Islam so beautiful is that, you know, the man, the human being, relies on Allah, and Allah is a suppository of truth, to where when they read any of these books, they're able to decipher and discern what is right and what is wrong. But it requires knowledge of the deen and knowledge of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his life. So you will see that what he talks about has kind of renewed masculine excellence, or understanding what a man is and what women are, which kind of liberated men from falling into, dare we say, ways of feminism or remnants of feminism that has taken place within society.
Can you define this word? We hear a lot of it, this hypergamy. What is this?
So hypergamy is kind of a terminology that basically says that women naturally want or desire a man or a partner that's at a higher socioeconomical status, that has the potential to make more money than her, or makes more money than her, and has a level of a social presence that's naturally what a woman would want. A woman wouldn't want to marry a man that makes less than her or doesn't have the potential to make more than her. Mm-hmm. Naturally, she wants someone that she sees can protect her and provide for her.
And what about this Kevin Samuels? Who's he?
Y'all are all out of whack with how men think. This is why you can't get what you want from us, because you're valuing something up here that is a used vehicle with a lot of miles.
But don't you feel like with those experiences, a person can add value to their lifetime?
Men value your youth, your fertility, your purity, femininity, submission, ability to cooperate, and fitness. And all of that is at your highest in your youth. The older you get, the older you get. No product gets more expensive with time and use. Have you ever been to the pawn shop?
Yeah.
All right. You ever take something you really value to the pawn shop? And did that hurt your feelings when they told you how much it was worth?
Yes. I was like, what? Yeah.
That's you. We the pawn shop.
Kevin Samuels is another one that kind of blew up. He blew up, I'd say it was 2025. I'd probably say around 2019, 2020, roughly. He blew up because he was someone that really talked about male excellence as well, like cleaning yourself, how to clean yourself, how to be a man that takes care of yourself. He used to call himself an image consultant. So how do you present yourself in a way to where you are a man that's desirable, that women want, and that men want to be, right? But within that, he would interview women live, and sometimes he would go off on them and tell them things that they need to know about themselves or what they need to know about men. So some of the things that he said were very, very true, but the what he would prescribe or how he would say to solve the problem, that's where, again, it needs work. And that's where all of these move, or these individuals that would promote red pill or red pill like tenants, that's where they fell short.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So how would you summarize this Rolo Tomasi, how his book, his works, what was it, the main book,
The Rational Male?
Yeah, how would you summarize this at the end?
Now,
I would summarize it as a book that is, it's fairly educational for men to generally understand what are those intersexual dynamics? What are some of the characteristics that women have that is present within their fitra? But again, some of the prescriptions is where he goes wrong in that. So for example, he would prescribe for men to get at a certain age a vasectomy, basically to where they are not able to have children.
Why is he promoting that?
Because it's so to where they don't fall into the possibility of having children with the wrong woman, number one, and to allow them to, as he calls, spinning your plates, which is basically to date many women to find out which woman is the quote unquote right one. So you don't fall victim to
spinning plates.
So it's like, okay, you check out this kind of like a plate of fruit. And you try the grapes, okay? You try the green grapes. You try out different women. Basically, what they call it right now, your count, right? The count to
body count,
right? To try out
haram hole.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Mashallah. Yeah. So you
it's crazy.
It is crazy.
But we can. I mean, sure. If we're back in Jahiliyyah, this is like okay.
It's normal.
Yeah, it's normal.
It's normal. I mean, if you were a virgin back then, that was not normal,
yeah.
Right? If you were someone that didn't have any relations with women or didn't have a lot of women to talk to, they would question your masculinity, right? So that was something that he promoted is a pillar of you becoming a better man. You have to know women. And the only way to know women is to be with them. So in order for you not to fall into any type of connection or obligation or responsibility towards them being a child, you get a vasectomy.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to worry about that. But there are things that is problematic as well. Cause okay, once you find the right one, reversing a vasectomy, the possibilities of that are, you know, so.
Yeah, so what happened if you like unpackage that vasectomy and you can't have, then what happens? What are you cutting off your future seed,
exactly.
Your future generations?
Exactly.
Carry legacy, family.
Legacy, family,
so,
right.
That's batil now, we say.
Yeah, it's batil big time, man. But there are some things you would say is like to focus on yourself, focus on your purpose. Right, to focus on your purpose in life. That's like the number one. This is what you find a lot of people in the red pill, quote unquote, methodology. Whether they say the red pill or not, they all say focus on your purpose. We in Islam believe in that. But when they say purpose, it's more of it doesn't make a condition that purpose is connected with something godly. It's not something that is spiritual.
Yeah.
Is
he what? Does he belong to any? Is he an atheist? Is he? Does he have any affiliation, any religion?
I spoke of it, I mean, from what I know, he's someone that.
You've spoken to him?
No, I've spoken to him. But the last that when I've heard of him talk about, even as a book on that, which I haven't read, on religion. So I don't want to misquote him or misspeak about him. So I'm not really sure if he's a total atheist or someone that is just believes in a higher being. When I heard his rhetoric before, it seemed like he believes in a higher being, but doesn't totally say that I'm an atheist per se. Allah knows.
Yeah. But people like this, I mean, I think I've seen something from him. He was very respectful towards Islam.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we respect that. And I think that this would only enhance, because if you talk about purpose, you can't really be living true purpose unless you're living the purpose of the creator. And if you believe in a higher being, it's illogical that he didn't provide human beings with a purpose.
Exactly, man.
Makes
exactly.
No sense.
Exactly.
And I think he's intelligent enough. I mean, if he's asking the creator for guidance, he's trying to put the key in the door to find the truth. We'll send him this message also to Romo. And hopefully, because he can only enhance this because he's got some truths there.
Exactly.
But the ultimate truth he can get from Islam.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so attractive to young men and even older men, particularly those men that have been divorced, went through a bad divorce, right?
Yeah.
When you tell them, look, get your life right, focus on yourself, you focus on your purpose, you be a man of strength and honor and respect. And then from there, you choose a woman that respects that respecting of yourself, right? So that's what they call to, and Royal Tomasi, he calls to that as well. So that's what we say, yes, you got that correct. But again, ours is, I like to say, okay, there's a purpose in life and purpose of life. Your purpose in life is, okay, mm-hmm. You're using the faculties that Allah has given you, that God has given you, whether you know Allah or believe that God has given it to you or not. But whatever you see that you have, you use it and exhaust it to the best of your abilities to make more money, to find a sense of tranquility in your life, of purpose. But that's purpose in life. Your purpose of life is all of that exists, who brought it here, And how do you acknowledge the one that it brought it, that has given it to you? That's the purpose of life. So a lot of them, the Red Pill movement, they talk about the purpose in life. And they may say it's the purpose of life, but it's not exactly the purpose of life. Purpose of life is to worship Allah, to worship your creator, and to show gratitude to the one that has created you.
Most of them probably would come from a Christian background. Things didn't make sense. Trinity, God being a man.
Exactly.
And this probably usually pushes people away.
Exactly, exactly. It pushes people away. And when they see the implementation of people in their families at just, quote unquote, a level of blind faith.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this is not for me. I'm not really getting it. I'm not really understanding it. I just don't feel it, you know, as was the case with me.
You used to come from a Christian background.
Come from a Christian background as well.
So they can probably relate to that also. But mm-hmm. then when you looked into the Quran, you looked into Islam,
right.
See, people just put it all into one bucket, all organized religions. They're all
exactly.
the same. But Islam is unique. It's not. It has the proof and the evidence
mm-hmm.
to stimulate the mind and to show you that this is indeed from the creator.
Exactly, exactly. And especially when it comes to like this issue here, it's very, very clear and very straightforward and very non-apologetic as well. You know, even throughout all the movements from, you know, sexual revolution, industrial revolution, all these things that kind of have an impact on what is a man, what is a woman, and what are their quote unquote roles and responsibilities. Islam is very, very clear on that.
Yeah. Tell me, so when we look at, what's this, The Way of the Superior Male?
Way of the Superior Man. That's a book by David Deda. It's an interesting book because again, it touches on a lot of true factors within that book, which is very attractive to the man that is trying to find himself, the young collegiate that really wants to understand, okay, what is a superior man? What is the man that every man would want to be and that every woman would want to marry, for example, or, you know, generally speaking. And he speaks about purpose as well. And when he speaks about purpose, there's some good things in there. But again, it's void of that spiritual connection in which everything else emanates from.
So is it dangerous now if you're going through some of these books and you don't like yourself, you're someone who's an academic, you're someone who's been studying, you're Islam, you're a sheikh, you're somebody who obviously can filter a lot of these things out. But if somebody who doesn't have this type of knowledge, they go into it, can they become womanizers? Can they end up really going down a dark path or just following your lusts and desires?
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
It's going to take them down that path?
It can, well,
and next thing you know, he's got a vasectomy.
Yeah, no, without a doubt, man. It could take them down that wrong path because they will think it's only a secular nuance. It's only a social nuance, but it will affect the way that you think about life and even about women.
Is it hedonism?
Some of it is hedonism. I wouldn't say the Way of Superior Man is total hedonism, but some of the approaches is very hedonistic.
Debauchery, it's just like fulfilling your desires. Spinning the plates, that's like just get...
Oh, that's straight up fulfilling your desires. That's straight up, okay, go with dates on women, more plate, you know, you'll even find someone say more plates, more dates.
More plates, more dates.
More plates on the bar. When you lift weights, you look bigger, you look to where the Muslim... How many kids come and ask me, young guys, how much do you bench, right? You know, they see someone that's big, it's like, okay, he's big because he wants to look big. One of my mentors told me, no, it's just a byproduct of that connection that I have with pushing myself. It's much deeper for me than just the aesthetic.
But you know who will answer that question? Someone who has spun more plates than any of these guys.
Right.
Dan Bazarian. If you look at Dan Bazarian right now,
yes.
If you see what he's saying, he's trying to leave that life. He was just with one of our brothers now, and they spent some time together. He's giving them dawah.
MashaAllah, man.
And he's talking about how he wants to now. He's speaking out on the what's going on, the genocide in Gaza, and he wants to do something more fulfilling. And he says this is a dark hole.
Exactly.
It's a dark, dark hole.
Exactly. And now he's, I mean, I think even before this, he's committed to one woman. And, you know, so he's lived that life. He's been through it. But then in the reality, once all that's done, what's left?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then hopefully he gets down the path of understanding that God is a creator and then embracing that to the best of his ability,
mm-hmm.
you know, to firstly acknowledge the purpose of life and then to try his best to fulfill it by following that.
These are intersexual dynamics. How unpackage that?
So intersexual dynamics is basically how to properly understand the opposite gender and act upon that understanding. So what are women and what do they typically naturally want and desire and believe, and what are men and what do they naturally want, desire, and believe? So what are the dynamics, what are the examples and implementations and manifestations of their gender, of their sex?
Do some of these, the Rolos and the Kevin Samuels, are they on point on a lot of things, studying the female psychology, that this is what women want? And then women will say, yes, this, or some will actually say no, but no, it's actually what they're attracted to. Because some will say like, no, we want a nice guy. We want this, want that, you know, and some, there's this term simp. What's a simp?
A simp is someone that is subservient to women and all of their desires and demands.
Yeah, that's what women want, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and see, that's the thing. It's like, okay, women want that, but is that something that is really best for the man and the woman as a couple, for example?
But at the end, she don't want that.
No, at the end, she doesn't want that, and she may not even realize that she doesn't want that.
She wants a man to be a man, masculine man.
Right, and the thing is,
that doesn't mean he's a thug, a dictator, an abuser, whatever the case.
No.
Define that, please unpack that.
Exactly, so you say the women, they want a man. Sometimes the women can't even describe it, but then sometimes you'll find them. That's one thing Kevin Samuels was somewhat good at. He will ask them to define a man. They couldn't even define.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Right, right. They say, okay, someone like that is a partner. He said, what do you mean by partner? And he'll kind of break down that, no, it's not a partnership. There's a leader, and the man is a leader. And he had a lot of integrity in saying those things. And that's what I find within the Muslim circles, is that men don't find integrity in saying what Allah has even said.
Because Allah says it.
Because Allah said it. And that's the thing. Now, with him, it's not going to be that. It's going to be maybe by trial and error, what he's seen from the generations of old. Because one thing that he says is, one sign of a high value woman, he's the one that came with this term high value man.
Yeah,
he's the one that really came out with it and pushed it. One sign of a high value woman is if she has a ring on her finger, right? And in Islam, every Muslim woman is the high value woman because of her connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Every woman connected to Allah is a high value woman.
Initially speaking, yes, she has it, because that is the most important thing.
You see how we honor our women? Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, subhanAllah, I remember last time I gave a lecture here, I spoke about the word and how I mentioned the value of the mothers in Islam, and with them is the nation. And that's Allah's way of manifesting that. I came off the stage, your brother said, yes, subhanAllah, because the a woman has to earn that title, the real title of just as a man has to earn the title of rajul. You know, so it's something that, yes, Allah has given you this ni'mah and blessings of Islam, but then living that Islam by following the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is where you will fully live and earn this title of earn this title of rajul, of man, etc.
So how would you define, from their perspective, and then going through the Islamic filters, picking, this is good, this is not, and then defining really what is a high value man?
I think firstly, I was even asked this earlier in the day, it's like to really understand masculinity, it's just understanding the seerah, the sunnah. I mean, we understand how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with himself, cleanliness, what he spoke about the fitrah, how there are signs of the fitrah to clean oneself, how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about marriage, what you should look for in a woman, how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about women, how they are created from the rib of men, and how the top part of it is bent. What does that mean? And the Prophet ﷺ spoke about divorce and how to properly, what are the mannerisms with dealing with your wife if there's a potential for divorce? Speaking about the protection and provision, how there should be obedience of the wife to the husband. All of these things, when we look at the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, you will see that it was the manifestation of masculinity to the T. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the embodiment of masculinity.
Go ahead. Did you find any concept from what they talk about in the red pill, anything close? I think this is just amazing, the crooked rib concept that we have in Islam. Is there anything similar that they have? That,
I mean, when they would speak about the woman, you know, they would say certain things that we just don't understand about them, and it's not...
Because this is like the Prophet
Sallallahu
right? This is like... Amazing.
Amazing, man. Amazing. I mean, there's so much. There's so much that's amazing about the things that he said. And again, we have to remember that it's from Allah.
Yeah.
Subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not from mankind. And that's why the brothers that go through a bad situation with women, they feel liberated by these red pill movements, because the first thing they tell you is like, you've been lied to. Society has lied to you. It's not about happy wife, happy life. It's not about being subservient to your wife. The woman may say that, but in the end of the day, when they get in an argument, when she feels like, why am I not attracted to him anymore? I'm an imam because he doesn't know how to lead. He doesn't lead. He's not a leader. He's not bold. One woman told me, one sister told me, Allah bless her and him. She's like, he's never told me no. And those are the things we're talking about being a man. It's like, no, you have to know when to tell them no, because she knows that you are telling her no because of Allah and his messenger. And that's what I want with this family. This family is a household that worships Allah. And I don't agree with that. No, we're not going to do it. They get into an argument. That's fine. But I'm standing on my 10 toes on this issue. A woman eventually respects that, especially if she knows that you're living your purpose. Mm-hmm. If you're not, and you're not, she doesn't see you praying. She doesn't see you doing things that are honorable. She's not going to respect you. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's when we're talking about being a man. From them is being bold. Mm-hmm. And that boldness is what brings honor. From this is being truthful. Being truthful in what you desire as a man, but knowing how to be wise in that. Mm-hmm. Right? And you learn this from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
What about this fresh in the fitna?
The one that always gets people pissed off is have 50 girls or more lay count.
What have you read some of their books or his book or what? This is also, it's unique because I think one of the individuals, he's Muslim.
Yeah, may Allah guide us.
May Allah guide him, guide us. And, we want the best for all these guys we're talking about.
Yeah. So, I mean, these guys, I mean, they had a good intention. They, you know, inshallah, they had a good intention. It seemed like when they first started, they really wanted to educate men about, mainly, again, that you've been lied to, that, you know, women don't deserve everything that we're doing for them. They have to work for, quote unquote. He has a book called Why Women Deserve Less. I haven't read it. But I mean, a number of the tenets that he speaks about, I think, brought about this, the book. It's a show where they bring a lot of different type of females on there in their area. And they pose a lot of questions to them about intersexual dynamics. And, you know, and from those questions, they have dialogue. And I don't want to say healthy dialogue all the time. It's just their approach. You know, I'm not fully in agreement with it, but they want to do it to help those men that have been duped. Instead of being, it's from taking them from being a simp to being a strong, dignified man that every woman wants and that every man wants to be again. So the way that they go about it, again, based off of their tenets, it's always going to be deficient and it's always going to need work. But it became very popular because they're very disruptive in the way that they talked about things and how they talked to the females. Mm-hmm. You know, they would say certain things that the average guy would not say, and it would cause a lot of tension on the show, therefore bringing more people to watch them. Oh, he's going to say this about her. He's going to say this girl's overweight. He's going to call her fat, or he's going to, you know, they have these sound bites. They would call them certain names and things that, and the girls wouldn't respond. So that was what brought a lot of traction to the show.
Is there one extreme to the next where you have, okay, you have feminism, how it started, why it started for some rights, yeah, second, third wave, and now it goes to a total extreme.
It's
like a cancer, corrupting women, destroying families. Now you have red pill coming to counter that.
Exactly.
That's going to be 2.0, 3.0, and now men are going to get, you know, to another extreme. Islam comes in, balances all out.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is, man. That's exactly what it is. I mean, you find some of these feminist tendencies are in the minds of our Muslim sisters, unfortunately. And some of them, because they came from bad marriages and the husbands were horrible, the husbands didn't know how to properly treat a woman because of a husband was never taught how to be a man from his father, right? So again, there's a compromise of leadership, but every single individual is responsible in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the red pill came to serve as an antagonist to go against these feminist tendencies that have seeped into society. But then, all because the feminist movement, particularly the second, third wave, and the red pill movement, it's all from Bashar, it's all from men. Therefore, it's going to have a level of deficiency when it comes to how you should think of yourself as a man, what you should do as a man, being a vasectomy, or even socially. Like one of their tenets, for instance, is do not marry women with children.
Why?
Because one of the things that they say is that, look, the child will always come first. She will never put you first. That's a level of truth to it, mm-hmm. right? Therefore, she's always going to put you second. She's not going to have, there's not going to be a level of obedience in putting you first in her life. And when you're married or with a woman, you should be first in her life. Everything else should come second. Mm-hmm. There's a level of truth in that, but just totally cutting off the door to say, no, do not marry single women. Do not marry women with children. Islam doesn't calls against that. Islam calls against that. So those are some of the tests. One thing that Kevin Samuels said, he, and this is one thing he would it would really just hit home, but it was has a level of truth to it, is where he would talk to him when the woman says, I have three kids. I want a man that's going to take me for mine and take my kids. And he's like, you're this age and you weigh this much and you want a man just to come and take you and somebody else's kids? He said, he would say something like, you know, you weren't responsible enough. You were vulnerable enough to have children before marriage. That shows something about your decision-making process. So that would cause a man to think. The man would think, yeah, man, she has kids and she hasn't been married. How am I going to be any different? Why didn't she take marriage as a condition for children? In Islam, that's part of the deen.
Yes.
You cannot have sex unless you're married. Period. Point blank. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no concession in that issue. That's inherently within the Sharia. You cannot have sex. You can't even have a conversation alone with the woman in Islam. Islam totally shuts the door. We don't need these people to tell us that. But when he brings that truth to them, some men are like, man, that is true. Man, she has kids, man. I'm not going to go marry her, man. She has kids and where's the guy? And then you'll find women, they'll say, a real man will take care of a man or take care of somebody else's child. Like, yeah. No, not me.
Yeah, so, this is important. You can't be in a room hanging out by yourselves. God.
Because the shaitan is, and the Prophet says, shaitan is the third of them.
Yeah.
Shaitan is the third of them. Because it can lead to something that is not desirable in the Sharia.
And this is the concept now of the spinning plates, the body count. What would you say to people like the Myrons and others who are promoting this? What perspective would you bring? How would you approach this from the Islamic perspective, which is actually from the divine?
No doubt about it, man. So it's like, you know, subhanAllah, I remember one time Rolla Tomasi interviewed a brother a long time ago, and the brother had more than one wife.
Mm-hmm.
And Roll was like, had a lot of respect for him. You could tell he had reverence for him because he's like, wow, you have more than one wife. You're someone that's leading the life of a man. This is what a man does.
Okay, so now this guru in the Red Pill movement, mm-hmm. he's interviewing a Muslim. The Muslim has multiple families.
Right.
And he's admiring that.
He's admiring that.
That's his leadership role in leading all these families.
Right.
It's a great responsibility.
Yeah, so guys in the Red Pill movement, if they see a man that has more than one wife, they'll say, okay, it's respected. It's like, utmost respect, because you have committed yourself to more than one woman. Because within the Red Pill movement, they'll say men desire more than one woman. It's natural. And in Islam, there is a level of truth to that, to where if Allah allows us to have more than one wife, then there's something that is natural within our fitrah to have that desire. How we carry out that desire is another story, but it's to show that no, that's there. So the Red Pill movement does talk about that. But again, the right description, wrong prescription. Spinning your plates, wrong prescription. Body count, wrong prescription. No, it's have your commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being someone that is a protector, provider, and presider over a woman that you are willing to die for. And if it's more than one, then you're willing to die for more than one. But it has to have that as a condition. Islam makes the condition for having children, sex. But sex, for the condition for that is marriage. Those other two cannot happen unless you get married, period. But for them, marriage is not even in the picture. It is in the picture, but it's something that, for some of them, it's like a, dare I say, a last resort. And for some of them, it is, you will not find the right one unless you have more than one. And then if she's a keeper, she's a keeper, marry her. But in this day and age, particularly in America, it's very, very hard to find one like that.
How about Andrew Tate? How does he was kind of... in this kind of community, is he still in it, out of it, the whole...
Well, I don't know if he's still in it, out of it, male. I mean, alhamdulillah, you know, he became a Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and guide him. You know, he's our brother in faith.
I mean,
you know, but, you know, some of the tenets that he would talk about, again, are tenets that are good for young men of being strong, being honorable. The most honorable thing for a man is to have a family. Mm-hmm. The most honorable thing to a woman is to be the one that helps raise the family and children. But again, it is a lot of the things that he would say that would be what was some considered clickbaity. The aggression that he would talk about women, particularly before he became a Muslim, is something that's definitely un-Islamic. But in the end of the day, whether it's Andrew Tate, whether it's Rolla Tomasi, anyone, they're not our role model. So that's why the Muslims should just, don't mean to sound cliche, but the Muslims should learn the sunnah. When they learn the sunnah, they are able to see all of this for what it really is. Able to see Andrew Tate and say, you know what? I love the fact that he says, get up, get off of your butt, go work out, learn how to fight, okay? Take care of your body, don't eat trash, get off of video games. Instead of using the word hustle, we seek the barakah. We seek the barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be honorable, don't lie to women, be who you are. But at the same time, we're not going to have a webcam business, even though that was before his Islam. We hope he's not doing that. And if he does it after Islam, we totally reject that. We totally reject it in every case. We don't own businesses that promote haram and that promote gambling. We don't promote any of that. But the good that he says, we take it. But in the end of the day, he is not our role model. So with the message that he was sending and the way that he was sending it, hats off to him in regards to embodying masculinity and being an honorable man. And then him becoming Muslim magnified that. But again, with anyone, we take and we take and we reject that which doesn't coincide with the Sunnah of the Prophet.
What advice, as we close up, would you give to young men now? They want to do things the right way. They don't want to spin plates. They don't want to get a vasectomy. They don't want them to be our role models. But there's some things that are interesting. And the resources now that are out there on this side, they seem it's kind of more simpy, like, or they see it that it's just like really not going in line. This other thing is more, the fitrah is attracted to it.
Exactly. Right?
But over here, it can take you down the wrong path. Where do they go?
I would say, firstly, you know, guys need to go and learn more about the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Learn the Sunnah.
Understand the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and how he dealt with these particular situations. Secondly, I would say, particularly nowadays, it's important for men to get into combat sports for numerous reasons. Numerous reasons. You learn your reality through physicality. When you get somewhere with a whole bunch of men sweating, you know, and they've exhausted themselves and they fell on the ground and they've been beaten, it does something to your psyche. When you face pain and you have people just clapping it up, saying, let's go, come on, get up. You got a little more in the tank. You get up and you give it your all. You leave home, you go back home and you feel, man, I've given my all in this. You see your capabilities. You start to see, subhanAllah, Allah has created me in this way, right? You're much more honorable because you went through pain and struggle. But that translates over to other things in life. It translates over to leaving off video games and looking for a job or facing those fears of starting your own t-shirt business, whatever it may be, not worrying about what people are saying, and then obtaining that money to where when you go to a father-in-law, you go to a man for marriage, or a sister rejects you, you're okay, you're fine, but it takes a process. All of that, I think, initially comes from combat sports. So if one starts to learn the Sunnah, starts to learn Islam, but particularly learning the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they get into some physical exertion to test their wherewithal around people that push them as well. There's a lot of life lessons that could be, and you're so busy when doing that, you're not worried about girls. You don't have time to be on the internet. You don't have time for things that are not going to benefit you, because you'll start to ask yourself that question, but how is this benefiting? Right? So that's what I would advise in a nutshell. Those primarily those two things.
Beautiful. Thank you for, this is really an interesting topic. This is something that, I've already picked up some stuff. It's really important. I mean, getting into the reality of what's going on and, you know, and discussing this, unpacking it, and then giving people the proper solution, especially from someone who's kind of filtered out and went through a lot of these books and studied this, and you've been able to look at it from the Islamic perspective. And for the people out there, what would you say to the Rolos and Kevin and whatnot to consider if someone shares this with them? How would you, coming from a Christian background, living a life before Islam to now being somebody who's sharing the message of Islam, you live Islam, an imam in Islam, what would you say to them to inspire them, to motivate them to look further like you live?
What's after all of this, man? Like, when you pass away, what's next? We all know we're going to pass away. I think we can all agree to that. But everything, just even the whole concept of women being different than men, there being two genders, how you can establish another person from being with a woman, right? To have a child. All that is miraculous. It's beyond our understanding of how it takes place. And science is still discovering certain things about men and women till the end of time that will happen. So what does that all mean? Who brought it into existence? I think really looking more into that. Once you understand that God brought it into existence, the deity, the one creator. What am I supposed to do after that? What am I supposed to do? And that's where I don't like to use the word religion, because you'll equate it with other faiths, which is fine. It is a faith. But how do I show that acknowledgement to the creator of the heavens and the earth with the system that he's given? And we believe that Islam is that. So look into Islam, look into the spirit of the deen of Islam, particularly in this aspect of life. You will not find it in any other religion. You'll find some of it in other religions, but you won't find it as precise and as well thought out as you would in Islam. So I'd say look and entertain that, and then you can ask questions to individuals in your area that have knowledge of the religion, and you will find things that are very, very, very similar to what you're talking about, but it has more of a holistic approach.
Sheikh Abdullah Abdurro, thank you very much.
But Eddie, I got to ask you a question, man.
Yeah.
So you've been in combat sports for a while.
Yes.
What would you advise, I mean, when it comes to, you know, the single mothers out there that they come and say, my child is so rowdy, what do I do with them? What have you seen throughout the years in doing combat sports?
I mean, exactly what you just said. I mean, this is so important to get them involved. I was thinking right away, like, if you look at the Sahaba, if you look at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who jumped on the horse bareback, you know, he was a warrior. I mean, they were warriors. They were ones who had the best character, but at the same time, they were able to defend their families. I always think back when I was interviewing Horian Gracie. You know Horian Gracie? He's the one who brought the UFC. Yeah. A couple times, yeah. And then I showed him a video. You can watch it, a reaction to a man with his father. And then the father ends up getting smacked. And the son, all he could do is scream. That's all he can do. He was so scared. These are two Muslims. And they're in New York. It was a fender bender. And the guy came out because they hit the car. And he smacked. Imagine someone smacking your father, right? Wow. Let alone your wife and all this Islamophobia that's out there, this hate of Muslims. And imagine someone comes and just grabs your wife's hijab, take it off. This is happening, right? And all you can do is be like, right? All you can do is scream.
Palestine. Helpless.
Helpless. Yeah. You don't want to be helpless, right? Yeah, so all the qualities that you listed, empower yourself, because you got to know how to defend yourself if something goes down. And all the other qualities, all this stuff of bravery, masculinity, become a man.
Well, yeah.
Exactly. It's a component.
It's a component.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a component, alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
No, thank you. All right. MashaAllah. JazakAllah khair. Oh, yeah. God bless you.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullah.
So go to thedeenshow.com. We'll get you a free copy of the Quran.